जय गोपी जन बल्लभा
Jaya Radha. by Charanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON DVT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasti Gaurava Charana ki, Shishi Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Girivadam ki, Sri Vrindavan Dam ki, Sri Mayapur Navadip Dam ki, Sri Jagannath Puri Dam ki, Ganga Mai ki, Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulsi Maharani ki, Gramtaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gora Premanandi. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Text number 18. Bhaktim haro bhagavati pravahana jasram. Ananda bashpa kalaya muhurajamana. Vikridyamala hridaya pulakta chitango. Natma namasmarada saviti mukta linga. Bhaktim haro bhagavati pravahana jasram. Ananda bhaspa kalaya muhurajamana. Vikridyamana hridaya pulaka chitango. Natmanam asma natmanam asmarada saviti mukta linga. Bhaktim haro bhagavati pravahana jasram. Ananda bhaspa kalaya muhurajamana. Vikridyamana hridaya pulaka chitango. Natmanam asmarada saviti mukta linga. Thank you.
Sati Prabhan Ajasram.
Sati Prabhan Ajasram.
Ananda Vaspa Kalaya Mohur Arjamanaha.
Ananda Vaspa Kalaya Mohur Arjamanaha.
Vikvijamana Ridaya Pulaka Chitango.
Vikvijamana Ridaya Pulaka Chitango.
Bhaktim, devotional service. Paro, unto Hari.
Bhagavati,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Prabhan,
constantly engaging in.
Ajashram,
always.
Ananda,
blissful.
Bashpa Kalaya,
by a stream of tears.
Muhu,
again and again.
Arjamana,
being overcome.
Viklidyamana,
melting.
Hridaya,
his heart.
Pulaka,
standing of hairs.
Achika,
cover.
Anga,
his body.
Na,
not.
Atmanam,
body.
Asmara,
he remembered.
Aso,
he.
Iti,
thus.
Muktalinga,
free from the subtle body. Translation. Because of his transcendental bliss, incessant tears flowed from his eyes, his heart melted, and there was shivering and standing of the hairs all over his body. Thus transformed, in a trance of devotional service, Dhruva Maharaj completely forgot his bodily existence, and thus he immediately became liberated from material bondage. Purport. due to constant engagement in devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the deity, etc., as prescribed in 9 varieties, there are different symptoms which appear in the body of a devotee. These 8 bodily transformations, which indicate that a devotee is already liberated within himself, are called Ashtasattvika Vikar. When a devotee completely forgets his bodily existence, he should be understood to be liberated. He is no longer encaged in the body. The example is given that when a coconut becomes completely dry, the coconut pulp within the coconut shell separates from the bondage of the shell and the outer covering. By moving the dry coconut, one can hear that the pulp within is no longer attached to the shell or to the covering. Similarly, when one is fully absorbed in devotional service, he is completely free, he is completely disconnected from the 2 material coverings, the subtle and gross bodies. Dhruva Maharaj actually attained this stage of life by constantly discharging devotional service. He has already been described as a Mahabhagavat. For unless one becomes a Mahabhagavat or a first-class pure devotee, these symptoms are not visible. Lord Chaitanya exhibited all these symptoms. Thakur Haridas also exhibited them, and there are many pure devotees who manifested such bodily symptoms. They are not to be imitated, but when one is actually advanced, these symptoms are exhibited. At that time, it is to be understood that a devotee is materially free. Of course, from the beginning of devotional service, the path of liberation immediately opens, just as a coconut taken from the tree immediately begins to dry. It simply takes some time for the shell and pulp to separate from one another. An important word in this verse is muktalinga. Mukta means liberated and linga means the subtle body. When a man dies, he quits the gross body, but the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego carries him to a new body. While existing in the present body, the same subtle body carries him from one stage of life to another. For example, from childhood to boyhood, by mental development. The mental condition of a baby is different from that of a boy. The mental condition of a boy is different from that of a young man. And the mental condition of a young man is different from that of an old man. So at death, the process of changing bodies takes place due to the subtle body. The mind, intelligence, and ego carry the soul from one gross body to another. This is called transmigration of the soul. But there's another stage when one becomes liberated even from the subtle body. At that time, the living entity is competent and fully prepared to be transferred to the transcendental or spiritual world. The description of the bodily symptoms of Sri Dhruva Maharaj makes it apparent that he became perfectly fit to be transferred to the spiritual world. One can experience the distinction between the subtle and gross bodies even daily. In a dream, one's gross body is lying on the bed, while the subtle body carries the soul, the living entity, to another atmosphere. But because the gross body has to be continued, the subtle body comes back and settles in the present gross body. Therefore, one has to become free from the subtle body also. This freedom is known as mukta linga. So again, the translation of the verse. Because of his transcendental bliss, incessant tears flowed from his eyes, his heart melted, and there was shivering and standing of the hairs all over his body. Thus transformed in a trance of devotional service, Dhruva Maharaj completely forgot his bodily existence, and thus he immediately became liberated from material bondage. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhukasta Sati Vrinda Krita. So, this verse, the previous verse, are describing the activities of Dhruva Maharaj in Bhadrik Ashram after, as we know, he had a strong hankering to inherit the kingdom of his father. His mother was not the favorite wife of his father, King Uttanapada. His mother's name was what? Suniti. And his stepmother was Suruchi, and she wanted her son to become king, to inherit the kingdom. And she liked that her son would sit on the lap of the king. So, since the king was very influenced by his favorite wife, he pushed Dhruva Maharaj off from his lap, didn't allow him to sit on his lap, which greatly perturbed Dhruva. He wanted to get back on his father's lap, but his stepmother was chastising him, "You're not qualified. The only way you could possibly inherit the kingdom is by worshipping the Supreme Lord and taking birth in my womb, from my womb, in your next life. Then you have a chance." So of course he was very much stung by these harsh words and went running to his mother, who said, "Well, what can I do? I'm just a poor woman. I'm not the favorite of your father. And besides, your stepmother is right. Only by worshipping the Supreme Lord can you attain all desirable things, all perfections." So he immediately wanted to know, "Where can I meet the Supreme Lord?" And she said, "Well, I'm not sure, but I've heard there are great sages in the forest who sometimes see the Supreme Lord." So immediately he wanted to go to the forest. And just at that time, Narada Muni appeared and said that, "You're just a young boy, you better stay at home with your mother." But he was very determined, having strong Kshatriya spirit. So finally Narada relented. He was marveling at the determination of this boy. And he gave him instructions how to worship the Lord in the forest by fashioning a deity of the Lord from natural elements such as stone or wood. And he also instructed him to chant the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Dhruva went to the forest and followed the instructions of Narada Muni, and in addition performed many austerities by reducing his eating, sleeping, breathing, drinking, etc. So much so that reached such a stage that tremendous energy was concentrated in his body, and when he pressed his toe down on the earth, it sent tremors through the heavenly planets. Very powerful. So the demigods became perturbed and begged the Lord, please pacify this devotee of yours. So the Lord obliged, very kind to the demigods, because they're devotees. Even though they have material desires, still they're Sakama devotees, but they're devotees and they're highly entrusted by the Lord to govern universal affairs. So therefore he obliged and appeared before Dhruva and touched Dhruva with his conch shell, which sent thrills of ecstasy through Dhruva Maharaj's body and very being, and also empowered him to speak many eloquent and beautiful prayers full of transcendental realization in glorification of the Lord. Just a young boy, you know, he normally, such a boy wouldn't have such an expansive vocabulary, but he was empowered by the Lord, and therefore, you know, we can read these beautiful prayers, so inspiring. And then, as we know, the Lord asked him, what benediction would you like? And at that point, Dhruva had the realization, I've been searching for broken glass, but I found the most valuable jewel, treasure, which is your association and the opportunity to render devotional service unto you. Therefore, that's the only benediction I seek, to be always able to be engaged in your devotional service. So this is, therefore, this shows how he became a perfectly pure devotee. He is given as an example of one who approached the Lord with material desires. Chaturvidha bhajanti manjana supakino arjana arta arta jigyasur jnani chabaratarshava. Four kinds of pious persons, Krishna said, approach me. And those who, you know, have material desires, those who are in distress, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. So as we know, Gajendra approached the Lord in distress. The sages in Naimisharani approached because they were inquisitive. Kumaras were wise. But Dhruva was an example of one who approached with material desire. But you know, whatever the reason is that inspires a person to approach the Lord, if he serves the Lord and worships the Lord, then he can gradually become purified of those material contaminations, distress or lamentation or material desires or whatever. This is the power of devotional service. That's why the Bhagavatam recommends akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogina yajeta purusam param. Whether a person is free from material desires or full of material desires or desires liberation, in any case, one who has got broader intelligence should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Etad nirvidyaman anamichitam akatobayam yoginam rifanirnitam harinam anakirtanam. You can also find the verse in the beginning of the second canto. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including for those who are free from material desires, as well as those who are full of material desires, as well as those who are self-satisfied by dint of yogic practice. So, that is the power of the process of devotional service, and Dhruva Maharaj is a perfect example of how that power can transform a person's heart, how the association of the Lord, either directly or through the chanting of the holy name, the process of deity worship, the process of hearing the scriptures, the process of association with the devotees, how devotional service in its different forms can change a person dramatically, totally. So in this way, Dhruva became a perfectly pure devotee. And the Lord gave him that blessing that he would always be engaged in devotional service. But he said, you also take kingdom. In fact, gave him a whole planet to oversee. In addition to the kingdom of his father, I guess. But eventually, after ruling for a long time, then Dhruva Maharaj knew it's time to wind up his worldly affairs, and therefore, like a exemplary devotee, he went to a holy place, to Bhadrikashram, to focus himself fully in devotional service. Again, he was practicing austerities, controlling his breathing, withdrawing his senses, meditating on the Archivigraha of the Lord, and thus entered a complete trance of devotional service. And as this verse describes, he exhibited all the symptoms of transcendental ecstasy and became completely absorbed in Krishna on the transcendental platform, and thus he became liberated from material bondage. And then next verse goes on to describe then how transcendental airplane came down to take him back to the spiritual world. So, as Srila Prabhupada describes here in the purport, due to constant engagement in devotional service, a devotee becomes highly advanced and gradually begins to experience these symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. And there are so many examples of great devotees who experience these symptoms. Lord Chaitanya himself, of course, he's the Supreme Lord, but still in the role of a devotee, exhibited these symptoms. And Thakur Haridas and many, many other great devotees. But one should not artificially try to imitate these transcendental symptoms, artificially try to jump to a very highly advanced platform, either for one's own gratification or trying to impress others. Here in Bengal, there are so many pseudo-devotees, sahajiyas, who make artificial display of transcendental ecstasy. It's quite common that wealthy gentlemen organize nam yajnas and invite kirtan groups to perform. So these nam yajnas may run 36 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever, and they'll invite a number of these groups. Each group will performed for 2 hours. And they'll oftentimes exhibit, you know, these artificial symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, rolling on the ground, embracing one another, shedding tears, embracing members of the audience. And once a devotee even said he saw one of these performers embracing a dog in so-called transcendental ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada was very critical of this type of artificial display. And he said they make that pretense of transcendental ecstasy after the performance. Please give me one bidi. My throat is very dry. And here in Mayapur, 1976, devotees arranged a kirtan competition. There was a stage set up over there. And different groups came from different parts of Bengal and were performing. So Jagtaka Maharaj told me, asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you think of this kirtan? Prabhupada said, they are simply chanting money, money, money. So Prabhupada was extremely critical, of this type of professional performance, professional Bhagavat reciters, professional kirtan groups. As he said, if we hear Bhagavatam from such persons, this is like drinking milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It becomes very poisonous. It's very dangerous, actually, to hear from such materialistic personalities who are just making a business out of devotional service. And so sometimes you go to temples also and you'll be accosted by so many brahmanas demanding donations. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said it's like using a shalagram shila to break peanuts. Just using the deity for one's own benefit, or using the holy name for one's own benefit, or the Bhagavatam for one's own benefit. So therefore one should avoid the association of such materialistic devotees or sahajiyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has identified with 13 different apasampradayas in Bengal as a warning to steer clear of such association. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were real warriors on behalf of the Sankirtan movement to fight against such contamination in the society of devotees, to fight against those who watered down the philosophy, or who created non-bona fide mantras. For example, this Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram, or Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna Hare Ram Sri Radhe Govinda. They had great disputes, actually. There's one, was it Radharaman, that Babaji and Puri, they had a great dispute with him because of his introducing such non-bona fide mantras. In this way, they were very strict to adhere to proper parampara understanding, as was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Any kind of non-bona fide writings, he would reject, such as Balabhabhata, who claimed he had defeated Sridhar Swami by writing, a new commentary on the Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu was furious. Someone does not accept the commentary of Sridhar Swami. I consider a prostitute, he said. Swami also means husband. Wife is unfaithful to the husband and be considered a prostitute. So he completely rejected this commentary. one must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Then one can get the proper understanding and be able to apply the process of devotional service properly in one's life. So therefore, this artificial exhibition of ecstatic symptoms, this is to be strictly avoided. Generally, the great acharyas, even though they experienced such transcendental symptoms, they didn't manifest them, so that people wouldn't cheaply imitate or misunderstand. But still, if a person goes on steadily following the process of devotional service, gradually he will become more and more advanced until he can come to that stage of experiencing those symptoms. And Prabhupada has given this famous example here of the pulp of the coconut becoming detached from the shell by constant and diligent practice of devotional service. One becomes detached from the material body, both gross material and subtle material body. One ceases to identify with the material body. One identifies fully as an eternal servant of the Lord. All his activities are connected with Krishna. He doesn't use his material body or his subtle body in any way for sense gratification, but only to enhance his absorption in devotional service. So therefore, even he's living within the material world, he's fully situated on the transcendental platform. So this was the position of Dhruva Maharaj, just as it was the position of Srila Prabhupada and other great acharyas in our sampradaya. And, well, for a long time he was absorbed in the service of overseeing the kingdom that he had been given to engage the citizens in a devotional service of the Lord. But at the final stage, just as you see in the lives of other great kings, he retired and went to the holy place and 100% absorbed himself in Krishna consciousness and thus perfectly exited this material world, and the Lord welcomed him back to the spiritual world with open arms by sending a transcendental airplane. I think it's mentioned that Dhruva Maharaj, he stepped on the head of death, isn't it? He didn't want to leave without his mother. He took his mother also. And he stepped on the head of death as he entered into the transcendental airplane along with his mother. So in this way, life is a perfect example of pure devotional service. It's also an inspiration because he began by having material desire, material contamination. But by following the instructions of a pure devotee, Narada Muni, and by diligently practicing devotional service, then he was able to move from that conditioned stage to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So the Bhagavatam contains many stories of pure devotees. Narada Muni's own life shows how one can come from a very lowly position to the most exalted position. Previously the son of a maidservant, he was considered a low birth. But because of the association of great devotees, and his life, his consciousness became transformed, and eventually he became Narada Muni in the next lifetime. So the Bhagavatam contains many descriptions of the Lord and his incarnations and their pastimes. so that we can gain attraction for them. But at the same time, it also contains the life stories of many great devotees. We might, just by reading the pastimes of the Lord, we might think, how is it possible that, you know, we could ever come to the stage of pure devotional service? But when we hear of the examples of the lives of such personalities as Dhruva and Narada, and how they came from conditioned state to stage of, you know, pure devotional service, pure Krishna consciousness, that gives us hope that if we follow in their footsteps in a humble and sincere way, then one day we can also reach the topmost destination. Srila Prabhupada has assured the devotees again and again that yes, if you practice diligently, if you attentively follow the process, then you also can come to that stage of going back to Godhead, just as so many other great devotees have done in the past. So, thank you very much. It's 9 o'clock already. The deities open very late this morning, so a bit late. We'll have to finish at this stage. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupad Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda Ki, Vatai Gaura Prema Nandi.